right, if everybody's had a chance to say the verse to the neighbor. Last week we were talking about Solomon Ginsberg, and this was a man that I wanted to take 2 weeks and just relay some of his stories. But as I mentioned last week, Solomon was born in Poland. I guess Poland was maybe part of Russia at that time. He was born into a wealthy rabbi's family and rejected the teachings as he was given assigned an 11-year-old girl to marry, just made him revolt, and he left the family and ran away. Eventually made his way to London, where he heard the gospel for the first time and was saved. He enrolled in a mission college there in London, feeling that God was calling him to preach, and soon thereafter, through a series of events, he was given the opportunity to learn Portuguese to be able to go to Brazil and be a missionary. So he was given room and board and the opportunity to go, and he went to Portugal and learned the language, and eventually made his way to Brazil. And God used him greatly. He's known as the firebrand of Brazil, and the stories almost seem made up. Just amazing stories, and I'll recommend a book to you later. I think I did last week of his autobiography to read some of his wonderful stories. But from where we sit, we know that Solomon Ginsberg lived a long, full life. But the trials that he went through, and when you're going through those trials, they're very real, very harrowing. Sometimes we look back at a man like this, and we give him almost superhero status. But these men had wives and children and occupations. They had ministries that were important to them. And in the case of Solomon Ginsberg, there were many times in his life he didn't know if he would survive the meeting, whether he'd be killed. Brazil was the Wild West in those days, and lots of crime, lots of murder. So it's very interesting to listen to him in his own words and what was going through his mind as God led him through these events. Over and over, he was threatened and imprisoned. He was beaten up. He was rejected, of course, by his own people, the Jewish people. He had multiple death threats, contracts taken out on his life, many times by the Catholic Church itself, who hated him. The Church in Brazil, the Catholic Church in Brazil, was very corrupt, of course. But God would use Solomon Ginsberg to preach to thousands and begin dozens of Baptist churches throughout Brazil. His theme over and over was that the cleansing blood of Jesus washes away all sin and can cleanse any sinner. These were the words that God used to convict his heart when he was a young man. And these are the words that led him to Christ. And this is the news that he desperately wanted to get to as many people as possible. So we talked last week about one of the events I talked about was the salvation of this renowned murderer, really. He was known as a bandit, but he had killed 66 people. He had been hired by the local Catholic priest, paid to kill Ginsberg. And as I mentioned, interesting story. Ginsberg leaves his home at very early morning. He's traveling to the town where he's going to preach, and he sees a man sitting there with a gun, with a shotgun. And Ginsberg, at that moment, didn't know who it was. He thought he was a hunter, and he stopped. He spoke to the man kindly. And went on and preached his message. Later that night, he was awakened by pounding on his door as Silvino, this bandit, came to see him. And Ginsberg talks about, and I'm repeating this, but Ginsberg talks about he fell on his knees and he prayed quickly, God, protect my family. This is the end. This is the man who was hired to kill me. He didn't do it today, and he's coming now to kill me. He opened the door, and this man was standing there with tears in his eyes as he related the events that he was there to kill him. When he stopped and talked to him kindly, he decided well, I won't kill him now. He just spoke to me kindly. And so he followed him, though, to the service. He disguised himself, sat through the service and the preaching and the praying. And he said, I know now, sir, that you are doing a good work, and I will not kill you. And they talked through the night. The bandit, Silvino, was saved. Story spread throughout the entire region as so many people were terrified of this man and his band of murderers and robbers. And it's simply wonderful, Ginsburg wrote of that occasion, what the Lord can do for a poor, degraded, penitent sinner. The blood of Jesus is still efficacious and saves to the uttermost. But that's not the end of the story. I stopped there last week, but about a month later, he had finished traveling, and he came home, and he found a letter from a group of women in Americus, Georgia. And this is what the letter said. Dear Brother Ginsburg, in our missionary meeting today, we felt led to offer special prayers to our Heavenly Father to bless you and protect you from all danger. He looked at the date of the letter, and it was the very day that he had met Silvino for the first time, that day that Silvino was hired to kill him. And an interesting end of that story and how God protected him. Brazil was semi-free, had some liberties there, and actually their constitution had guaranteed religious liberty, but the Catholic Church controlled Brazil, and there wasn't much religious liberty, even though it was supposedly guaranteed by the constitution. And the priests were very influential in people's lives, of course, and they hired band gangs to break up his meetings and to beat him when he would walk down the street and that. And this only led to greater opportunity to witness and distribute God's word. Most of the priests were held in contempt by the people because the people recognized or realized their immoral lifestyles and their opposition really to letting people have scripture. Ginsburg went to jail a few times. While he was in prison, each time he would really start a prison ministry. And from that came forth many strong spiritual leaders that were saved in prison. On one occasion, one of the men, this again is a different story than the one I just told, but that was hired to kill him. He was hired and paid to kill him. He was converted and actually became his bodyguard and traveled with him for a long time. He had two wonderful wives. His first wife, unfortunately, very sadly, died after they'd been married for 4 months from yellow fever. And then he was married in 1893, and in that marriage he had 7 children. God blessed that marriage. And one time he was asked, why did he go to work among the Catholics? And he was even questioned sometimes, well, why not work among the Jewish people? He talked about that. But he said about the Catholics, he said, for the simple reason that I came to the conclusion that the greatest obstacle to the conversion of Jews and Gentiles, and therefore the greatest obstacles to the evangelization of the world, is the Catholic Church. He said, with its claim of being Christian, and yet with its idolatry, its materialistic customs and traditions, and its degrading superstitions, he said, if there's one thing that is drilled into a young Jewish heart, it is hatred toward the worship of idols. And he said, my very instinct and nature revolted against the practice of the Catholic Church. That was something he said. It was interesting to hear that. And one thing he said that I think is so kind of sums up his testimony, he said, the saddest thing of all is the fact that Christ's love and free offer of pardon is not known. Oh, how they strive to save themselves and to pacify their troubled conscience, but all to no avail, for only Jesus pardons and forgives and saves. Jesus is not preached. His gospel is not published, and the people die in their sins for lack of knowledge. And this was his motivation for his work there in Brazil. He's known as the Wandering Jew, not that he wandered, but I think referring to the fact that he began in Poland, went to Russia, went to London, went to Portugal, eventually ended up in Brazil where God used him. And I think it's interesting, I show you this. This is his gravestone. Just something to note as I... I don't know if you can see it there, but the star represents, he was born as a Jew and died as a Christian. And I think that's very interesting as that's our world is totally twisted where where Christianity is secondary to our culture or our skin color, and yet our first responsibility is to the Lord. And I think that's quite a testimony there. And as I mentioned last week, I'll just mention again, his autobiography, it's available for free if you buy it through Kindle on Amazon. And I would recommend to anybody to read this wonderful story, exciting story of Solomon Ginsberg. He went home to be with the Lord in April of 1927. I want to thank the Lord this morning for his ministry and the life of Solomon Ginsberg.